Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Man, big ups to Iman Shumpert. I didn't know that he was a champ. He won Dancing with the Stars last night.
He's not in the league?
No.
I thought he was still playing ball somewhere.
No. Did you know he had those moves?
No.
You didn't know that?
No. I mean, he was a good defender, I guess, so he had quick feet. But I figured he was still riding LeBron for a few more years.
Nope. Won an NBA title, but he is now Dancing with the Stars and the champion of Dancing with the Stars. Won it last night.
Did you watch?
No, I just saw it on ESPN.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not a big Dancing with the Stars guy.
Me neither.
I just think the girls in that show wear way too much clothing. Way, way too much clothing.
It's a bad bit.
Yeah.
Like, you're not appealing to a lot of people who could watch that show.
Need something skimpier.
Huh? Yeah.
Something a little bit more revealing. A little bit more revealing.
From Shumpert or from the women?
From the women.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Women.
Just making sure.
All right. We'll get to the AJ Hinch stuff in just a second, but we haven't mentioned this either. So Biscuit wants to talk about the U of H win. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you, my brothers.
Back at you.
Yeah, man. Hey. Before I get to my Cougar take, man, the best thing about the LeBron situation, and I do agree with the NBA giving the brother more games than LeBron, because you can't just be running underneath the stands and trying to get somebody in the tunnel and stuff. That's where you got that second game from. But the best thing about it, did you guys catch the Russell Westbrook press conference?
Yeah, where he was asked about the tech that he got.
He didn't even know he got a tech.
Right. and that was just classic Westbrook. I love that dude, man. He was like, well, I guess I'm there to give to somebody, you know, if I was giving to me. You know? I just love that guy, man. I'm a Westbrook fan. I know a lot of people hating on him, but I love that dude, man. But to the Cougars, man, I'm telling you, Kelvin Sampson is sitting on a gold mine over there, man. They got, in my opinion, John, they got a better team this year than they had last year.
Hmm.
They got a couple bigs where you can't just overpower them anymore. And they got, maybe like a true point guard. And I forgot the little guy's name or whatever. They can. And once Marks gets back in shape and get going, I promise you, the Cougars are going to be a handful. We know they're going to play defense. We know they're going to rebound. We know they're not going to turn the ball over. We know Kevin's going to play 9 or 10 people. But man, they got some bigs over there now. And then with the boy coming in next year, power forward or whatever from IMG Academy, I'm telling you, U of H is probably the best team in the city and probably going to be that way for a while.
Are you sure they're going to be? Well, listen, they weren't a great shooting team last year either. Quentin Grimes, you lose that. You lose Giroux, who had so much athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
But Sasser he's a pretty good scorer. And you're right. When Draymond comes back, it's going to be, and now you got yourself another scorer. Fabian is another year older. Kyler Edwards is pretty damn good. It's going to be interesting. Now, I think you're going to get a good test here with Wisconsin.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Wisconsin, a nice comeback over A&M yesterday. But, man, Houston's loaded. And Kelvin Sampson ain't sitting on the gold mine. He built the gold mine. Like, mm-hmm. What he's done with this program over the last few years is phenomenal. I mean, second only to Gonzaga in terms of wins in college hoops over the last 5 years. And the way Houston won yesterday impressed me. Of course, the 17-0 run out of the chute, you love that. Kind of put the game away early on. But if you could beat a quality team with Marcus Sasser only giving you 9 points, like, that to me was the biggest question. If Sasser isn't going for 20-plus. Can this team beat good teams? Well, if Fabian White plays the way he did yesterday, then you've got a shot. So, yeah, I don't think they're as good right now as last year's Houston team, but that's kind of a Kelvin Sampson staple, John. Like, his teams get better as the year goes on, and these guys have already looked pretty impressive in the early going. So, love the Kyler Edwards ad, and, yeah, don't count out the Cougs, man. They're favored to win the AAC for a reason. And it seems like they've got a shot to make another run come March.
Hopefully he didn't bring Tremont back too soon.
Right.
You know, wanting to, you know, he 17 minutes last night. We'll see. But if he gets his legs under him and he and Sasser, I don't know, man, that was a pretty damn good team. But they, listen, they went ice cold for a while too. They just crashed the board so hard, mm-hmm. and that's what you're going to do. This will be an interesting game against Wisconsin because Wisconsin took care of business, although Texas A&M led early in that one.
They were
led
26
big.
To 10.
Yeah, then, they led big early. Now, Texas A&M isn't a very good basketball team,
right.
but Wisconsin was able to come back. You know, Wisconsin's always the same. They got a bunch of white guys,
yep.
and they're tall.
They're all 33, too.
Yeah, right. It's the same. It's the same at their quarter. They always got Hornibrook. Playing quarterback. Mertz is just horny Mertz. That's all he is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And they do it every – that's what Wisconsin does. I was up there for 3 years.
Okay.
And it was – it's the same. It never, ever, ever changes. There's really just a lot of white people that you've got to choose from.
Yeah.
If you're the Wisconsin coach.
They get all the best white guys. Like after Duke, I guess. Duke gets the number one crew of white guys and then everyone else.
And Butler used to. Now Butler doesn't get that anymore.
No.
Butler used to get the best white guys, and now they don't so much anymore. That was a nice win for the Cougs, but that's a game that they're supposed to. Now this will be the good test. We'll find out a lot more about this Cougs team against Wisconsin here. That'll be fun.
Yeah, similar styles too, right? You think of Wisconsin, you think of Greg Gard, you think of defense first, you think of Kelvin Sampson, especially his teams early. They're always focused on defense, so this could be a dogfight, kind of a slugfest a little bit later today.
Absolutely. That's fun. These tournaments are fun in that way.
Yeah.
And because they usually do. You get, and unlike football, you're not going to see, you know, Alabama and Clemson playing early in the season. You're just not going to see it. But you in basketball, you're going to get these kind of matchups. Not that these two teams, but this is a Final Four team. And Kelvin's got a great program going on. It's nice to have Tremont back, that's for sure. All right, we said we were going to talk about Astros and A.J. Hinch last week, he met with Carlos Correa over at, what was the name of the place again?
Boxwoods.
Yeah, Boxwoods.
Tiny Boxwoods.
That's it. And the two of them met, and somebody took a picture from his hip. So a little picture of A.J. Carlos sitting there at the table talking. And A.J., you have met the media yesterday, and he said, you know, Here's what AJ had to say when asked about meeting Carlos for what everybody thought was lunch, but apparently it wasn't. It was brunch.
To say whatever. Is there interest from Carlos to consider Detroit heavily? And what was this, you know, your breakfast into lunch?
Yeah, I had a ham and cheese omelet. I didn't order lunch, so it was only breakfast. And I didn't realize it was as big a deal as it was. He's having a baby, delivering a baby gift. So there's a lot to like about players out there, and we're trying to get better. And so obviously we can't really discuss the specifics on things. I'm going to let people speak for themselves. So if you want to call these guys, you can call whoever we've talked to. But we want winners here, and we want to win. And that's the reason that we're here today and signing this. It's the reason that we made a transaction on the first day of the off season and getting Tucker Barnhart. There's more conversations to be had. There's a ton of interest in coming to Detroit by a variety of players. And that's because I think people are aware that our trajectory is going in the right direction. So great conversations, not just the one that was photographed. There were some unphotographed ones. You guys can seek those out. Some really good meals Al and I are sharing. You know, the most successful one to date has been the one that's sitting at this table right here signing to help anchor our staff.
There's AJ. AJ's great. Love AJ. Miss AJ. He's trying to court him. He's trying to get Carlos to go there. I'm trying to talk him down from $300 million to about $140 million.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a pretty expensive baby gift.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not going to happen. No, listen, I wouldn't mind at all if he went to Detroit. Because they're harmless. They're pretty harmless.
Did anybody look in that box that the baby gift was in and make sure there wasn't $200 million already sitting inside of it, and then he signs there for $140 million.
You think that he could have had $200 million in that box? I don't. I'm not sure. I think it was probably some kind of a rattle or something, as opposed to $200 million. But you may be right.
Johnny
I don't know.
G, think of the nature. $200
million ain't
think
enough.
About
though.
What you th- what do you think of when you think of Detroit?
You listen.
Think of some money under the table getting laundered.
You listen. $200 ain't gonna get it done. AJ, you need to bring that $300
That's just
you
the
need
down
that
payment.
$300 million yeah. baby gift, not that $200 million baby yeah. gift. All right, AJ, Carlos is gonna be like those recruits that take that car. I'm going over here. I took that car, but I'm still going over here.
Only one JanSport backpack. That's all you got.
That's it.
Yeah, come on now.
We need more. We're gonna need more than that. AJ, come bring it. Pick it up. Yeah, listen. I wouldn't mind at all. The places that I would mind most for Carlos Correa would be the Dodgers, one. The Yankees, two. And anywhere else, Texas, I don't want to face them 19 times a year.
Right.
But
you'd rather Rangers over Yankees or Dodgers, though?
Yes.
Just because Rangers are far away from competing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. He's going to be harmless there.
Yeah.
He's gonna be really not going to be. I mean, Toronto's even been in the mix on Carlos. When, you know, I don't know. They got Bichette, and Semien had to play second.
Right.
So what do you – I mean, if you're so high on Bichette, I mean, are you really going to move – you really want Carlos? But now all of a sudden with Springer and Carlos, they're a bit more formidable. I like their young team. They could actually be a pain in the ass in the American League.
Yeah, they just missed out on a playoff spot last year, but they've got a young core, a lot of talent, and they've proven over the last couple of years that they're willing to spend to compete too. So that would be an interesting mix. I just love AJ Hinch trying to downplay that meal like it's no big deal. I mean, if he really wanted to meet with Carlos Correa and not have anybody find out about it, then he wouldn't have gone to a public restaurant in Houston and sat outside. What does he think? Like, did he think no one was going to take a picture here? Did he think no one was going to ask about him here? So love that he's trying to downplay it. But look, even in his downplay, he's like, no, we want him.
Yeah.
Like, we want guys who can help us win. We want winners. Clearly, Carlos Correa is that. AJ knows that firsthand. So it was a really half-assed downplay by AJ Hinch there.
Well,
he's admitting that, yeah, they're interested in Carlos Correa.
Well, what is he? I mean, that's silly to say, no, we don't have any interest in Carlos. That's silly.
Right.
I mean, you got to. I mean, it is what it is. He's somebody that obviously Detroit wants. He's been tied to Detroit from day one with AJ there.
They're the MyBookie favorites right now.
Are they?
To sign Carlos Correa. Even before the meal happened, they were the favorites, and they still are.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Who else is Yankees up there?
Yankees are up there. I think Yankees are second. Rangers were third last time I checked.
Yeah.
The Astros were like seventh or eighth.
Yeah.
They're way down there. And not a lot of people think that the Astros have any chance of bringing him back.
It would be interesting to see Jim Crane. I don't know. I'm torn on it. I want to see Carlos back, obviously. He's great. And I just don't mind the organization's philosophy of not having not giving out 10-year deals.
I agree.
I just don't.
And you've proven that you can win when letting guys go. Right, I mean, you've let some key faces go over the last couple of years, and you've still been the most consistent team in the American League. So even if Carlos walks, it's not like they're not going to spend on anything else. They're still going to do whatever they can to compete. You can still win, in my mind, without number one.
There are people that will lose their minds, though, if they sign Semien, who's 31, to a four-year deal. You could have had Carlos. He would be 35. But the amount of dollars is going to be a third of what Carlos is asking.
Yep.
So that you guys, there's a risk factor there, people. There's a risk factor there of $300 million. A dude that, and who, which one name? Okay, I want you to name all those 10-year deals that have worked out. Ready, go. Time's up. It's 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk a little bit about my peeps over at Aqueduct Plumbing. I really, really like these people. I was going to use them, but actually, because we thought our disposal, and by the way, they're at your disposal. We thought our disposal was broken. It wasn't. You just had to hit the button to turn it on. So it was crisis averted there. And so I didn't need them to come out to my house, but they were ready. I called. Man, yes, we'll set up an appointment. We'll be there tomorrow, as a matter of fact. but they'll do that for you as well. If you've got any issues, weird noises when you turn on your water, if you're running out of hot water, they've got the tankless water heater that they can put into your home. If you've got water pressure problems, they can help you with that. Foundation issues or cracks in the walls of your home, this is what you call your plumber and let them take a look first before you redo your foundation. They can repipe. Okay, they can repipe all of it because if you've got copper piping as opposed to the new tubing that they've got, then you're putting yourself out there when it freezes once again, and it will freeze again. So you got to watch out. You're looking for great plumbers that are going to do the job, not subcontract. They're going to give you a free estimate. 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or thebenchplumbing.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here, 817 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on the show. Last night, Tampa beats the Giants, and this morning, Jason Garrett's looking for work. He has been fired by the New York Giants. Breaking news, Jason Garrett fired by the New York Giants.
Bummer.
Yeah, it is. It was probably inevitable. Jason Garrett, as the offensive coordinator of the Giants, was a lock to be. I don't know. Is there a place? I don't know that there's a place. Maybe a quarterback coach somewhere. I mean, former head coaches always get jobs. We'll always find work.
Sure.
But I'm hoping he has enough money. And you know what, Jason Garrett, get on TV somewhere. Do something. You know.
Do you want him on TV though? Is he just going to clap the whole time?
No, he's going to talk. I'm sure he can talk too. I'm sure he can. He seems like an affable guy.
Yeah, I guess.
I just don't want him coaching my football team.
Now, the bummer is I'm a Cowboys fan, and I was thrilled the day the Giants hired that dude to be their offensive coordinator because I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was inevitable. And I don't understand how the Giants, after playing the Cowboys twice a year for all 10 years that Jason Garrett was the head coach, decided that that dude would be a great offensive mind and the guy that needed to lead the resurgence of Daniel Jones. Like, the fact that they relied on Jason Garrett in a Daniel Jones make it or break it year just blows my mind. It was a horrible decision, and that's part of the reason why the Giants are the Giants.
Well, yeah, they really are. It's bungling over there. I'm not sure Joe Judge is the answer. The Belichick coaches that are the answer. I guess Vrabel is kind of off the Belichick tree.
Does he count?
He's a Bill O'Brien guy, I guess.
Right. I mean, player, obviously, under Belichick, if you want to throw that in there.
Yeah, but Belichick's going to try and grab that because that would be about the only good thing that's come out of the Belichick tree. That tree is just dying. Those branches are about dead.
I mean, the most successful Bill Belichick disciple is Bill O'Brien, in terms of NFL success. Like, he's had more of it than any other assistant who was hired off of Bill Belichick's staff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, but the Belichick general manager tree really sucks. Like, it's the worst tree ever. It's the worst tree ever.
Good thing we're a part of that.
Yeah. No. And if Bill – it's just so amazing to me that LSU is even thinking about Bill O'Brien.
That can't be true.
I swear to God, I will not watch another game. I will just boycott. That is the worst. I'm going to have to talk to my people over there. It is. You cannot bring that guy in to poison your program.
No. So if it's not Jimbo, who do you think they should go after? Right, Jimbo is the guy they clearly want, and they're going to go after Jimbo as much as they can.
You know, they're so stubborn. They won't go after Napier because he's a Louisiana guy.
Right.
But he's turned out to be a pretty damn good coach. I still think, despite what happened to Mel Tucker, I think Mel Tucker would be a great hire. You know, despite last weekend and the thrashing that he took at the hands of Ohio State. He's not ready to beat Ohio State. But Nick Saban didn't win anything at Michigan State either, and he came in and took care of business at LSU. Plus, I think it's about time LSU had a minority hire.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And you know what? That it would Mel Tucker might be able to put the fence around Louisiana again, because Coach O was letting a lot of guys escape. Saban, that's how Saban won, was he put a fence around Louisiana, and he kicked everybody's ass with him. And there's some great players there, but people are coming in there and stealing them. And yeah, maybe Mel Tucker can get those guys to stay.
That's the beauty of that job, right? I mean, Louisiana is so talent rich.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you do it right, you're going to get all of those players, because everybody grows up wanting to play for LSU there. And then you can poach Texas, right? And you can poach the rest of the South, which is all talent rich, too. So, I mean, there's a reason the last three head coaches at LSU have won national championships.
Yep. Like,
that job, if done right, can be really, really good. And you could turn that program around relatively quickly with the right person in place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll see what happens there. Another Florida job opens up as well with Dan Mullen. And so,
what do you think about that?
I think it's the right call that Dan Mullen was fired. That he's lost that team. I don't think that there's any question. It's turned into a joke. It's turned into a, man, they are so bad. And this, a year removed from being in the SEC championship game.
That's the crazy part, right? His first three seasons, he was 29-9. Went to two SEC title games, played in two New Year's Six bowls, and then it's like, what happened this year? Like, part of me is like, man, one bad season after that, is that really enough to lose a guy? But, man, the conspiracy out there, John, is Dan Mullen was trying to get fired. He wasn't recruiting at all, and he was publicly commenting about not wanting to recruit until the offseason. And it's like, do you want to be here? So I wonder if he has his eyes set on one of these vacant jobs, and he just wanted to get fired, get his buyout, and then go somewhere else.
Well, no, he's absolutely being tied to the NFL now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was listening to Feinbaum on the way in here, and he was like, I think it'd be a good idea. He doesn't want to recruit. He's a good football coach. He's a good play caller. You know, him with the Bears would be pretty good. He's innovative, and he could maybe what they're doing with Justin Fields that Andy Dalton is performing better than Justin Fields is really an indictment on the coaching staff.
Agreed.
That they're running the same offense. Andy Dalton and Justin Fields should not be running the same offense.
No.
And so and Andy Dalton should not be, you know, excelling in that offense with that Justin Fields is floundering in. So it makes some sense to down Mullen to Chicago. Now Chicago's going to all Bears fans are going to be like, we don't want Dan Mullen. But Dan Mullen is a pretty damn good football coach. He just doesn't want to recruit.
I mean, that guy.
How can you not want to recruit if you're a college football coach?
You don't have to try that hard to recruit at Florida.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people want to go play at Florida. So if you put in any semblance of effort and you have some success, the recruits are going to show up. Yeah, that is interesting, man. I mean, look, I think he's a great coach, too. The fact that he led Mississippi State to the number one ranking in college football one time is pretty damn impressive. Like, no Joe Schmo off the street can do anything like that. What about Dan Mullen to the Texans? Would that interest you at all? Like, I don't know if Dan Mullen would have any interest.
No, I want him at the Bears. I don't want him here.
Okay. Okay. You just want to enjoy Justin Fields and watch him play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say I wanted him. I said, oh, hey, Bears, you can have him.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I don't want him here. Well, you know what? I mean, there's going to be all kinds of coordinators, but there's been some damn good, you know, with McVay and Brandon Staley and LaFleur and this young crop of guys now that you got to find the right guy.
Right.
And Zach Taylor's doing a pretty good job too. That would everybody thought that was a horrific hire last year. Well, he lost his rookie quarterback, and you know, what were you going to win with a rookie quarterback anyway? But he lost his rookie quarterback. Oh man, he sucks. Well, go try and win in the NFL with the stuff that he was trying to win with.
He had Jeff Driscoll starting some games.
Jeff, the tight end.
The tight end.
He's Jeff Driscoll, the tight end, was starting games at quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know how you're expected to win. Yep, Finley.
I mean, and Zach Taylor just sucks, doesn't he? Because he can't win with Ryan Finley and Jeff Driscoll.
Well, a couple of Texans legends right there.
Yeah. No. Guys that are probably going to be on the wall up on the – they're gonna retire their jerseys here. I want a good young guy that is going to come in here with enthusiastically take his lumps, obviously, but have some, but you know, be in touch with the today's game and today's player.
Yeah.
You know?
That's my fear is, like, does that guy want to come here? You know? Like, I don't think there's any chance of Lincoln Riley or an Eric Bieniemy or maybe even a Josh McDaniels. Like, the hope is, all right, well, he's got the ties to Casario and maybe he'd want to coach with those guys. But I just don't know if you're going to be able to get one of those big fish candidates out there. So you might have to take a risk on one of those smaller type of guys that nobody's really looking at.
Listen, there's only 32 of these jobs. And even the 32nd guy, you know, 32nd better be, he can be a pretty damn good coach. Or, listen, Cully took it because Cully wasn't being offered anywhere. But, you know, good young guys are going to take a job because it's the head coaching job as opposed to the assistant job. And it's just, it should be a guy, not like Cully. I like Paw. I do. I really do. I like him. I like his analytics. I know I like to be around him. I think he's a nice guy. I really like that he's getting paid now. And he's, you know, he's going to be able to go off into the sunset, Bo Cully, just enjoying his life now. and that's fun. That's great. Good for him. I feel good for him. But as far as coaching my football team, when I want to win football games, I'm not sure about that. No. Everything I've seen.
I am sure about that. I am sure that he can't do it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's a shame. But you know what? Coach is walking away with a bundle. More money than he thought he'd ever thought he was going to make.
So who's Pawpaw? He's Pawpaw or is it Dusty who's Pawpaw?
Pawpaw. Okay. Pawpaw Cully, Pawpaw Dusty.
We got both of them.
Yeah.
All right.
They're both, well, no, it's Pawpaw Bo and Pawpaw Dusty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does something with his tongue, doesn't he? Coach Cully? You ever see it?
He does. It's not like the Altuve kind of constant spit does.
He pushes his tongue out a lot. He's got, I think they ought to talk to him about that.
It's not quite Steve Belichick, right? The Patriots DC. Remember when he went viral on that Sunday night game with all the tongue movements he had?
Yeah.
I'm thinking his wife is the luckiest woman in the
Belichick's
world. It's not quite that kind of thing, but he does some weird stuff with his mouth. I mean, he's not coaching, so he's got plenty of time to do weird stuff.
But he does the thing where he pushes his tongue out all the time, and I'm like, I think you should stop doing that.
Is he like a kid, like trying to see if he can curl his tongue? Remember
like,
that? Like,
yeah, someone touch your nose?
Yeah, or maybe that too.
No.
He's like still trying to figure out at like the age of 60 something if he can do
like
that.
Like he's chewing it or something.
Yeah.
I think he's got to stop that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't want my coach doing that on the sideline. 828 ESPN 97.5. No John Clay Wolf? Nah. All right. Well, John Clay Wolf is busy. You know what he's busy doing? Buying cars. That's what John Clay Wolf do. John Clay Wolf is busy buying a car. And you, my friends, are the ones that can benefit from him buying your car because he is going to buy it for more than anybody else will. And that's a guarantee because he says, if I can't beat CarMax's offer, if I can't beat your dealer's offer, I'm going to send you $100. And you know what he never does? Send you $100 because he's going to beat those deals. He's got an unbelievable business. He's all over the country now. He's in just about every big market doing what he's doing. And he's just unbelievable. Why he spends more on these cars, I don't know. Well, he's taking pennies on the dollar at auction as opposed to all the big money that all these other that the dealerships and the CarMax is trying to get. They want to give you as little as possible for your trade-in. And so you get a lot less, and then they sell it for a lot more. That's where the big profit is, not with John Clay Wolf. He buys it for more, sells it for more, and doesn't make as much. All at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
People are so funny. There was a story yesterday that there's one township that thinks it's offensive to call someone a sex offender.
I heard y'all talking about this yesterday, you and Cody.
Yeah.
What do they want?
That's offensive. If you rape someone, apparently it's offensive to be called a sex offender.
Okay, it's offensive to call them offensive for raping somebody.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, and now there's a story in the Bay Area. Apparently, they're having a rash of looting.
Okay.
But the experts say that you have to be careful with the term looting.
Who are we
they're being
there?
Burglarized by a bunch of people.
That's what it is?
Apparently, over $1 million worth of retail stores, Louis Vuitton, Burberry, they're just being smashed and things taken, but not looted. Not looted, apparently, because that looting is apparently would be offensive in some way, shape, or form to what they're doing.
What are we supposed to say instead?
Defines looting. If the penal code defines looting as theft or burglary during a state of emergency, okay, local emergency or evacuation order resulting from an earthquake, fire, flood, riot, or other natural man. So I guess this technically maybe they're right. It's not looting,
okay,
since there's no state of emergency. Although you could say the economy is in a state of emergency right now,
right?
So
do we just call them robbers?
Well, yeah.
Stealers?
They're just burglars.
Thieves?
They're burgling.
What about sex offenders? What are we supposed to call them to not offend them?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Is rapist nicer than sex offender?
I just don't think it is.
I don't know.
Huh. I don't know why people are going to bat for rapists.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weird
bit. There's also a story. This story's been out there, though. Somebody sent it to me. This story's been out there that apparently sexuality experts say parents should ask for consent to change a baby's diaper. You need consent from the baby. Otherwise, it's some kind of you're offending them.
How do you get consent from a baby?
Can I change your diaper? No. No, if the baby's not, then you got to leave it in that poo.
Just forever.
Yeah.
Wow. That is good parenting right there.
Well, apparently, maybe this came from people who make rash ointments. Yeah, they want the baby's consent so they could sell a hell of a lot more rash ointments.
Yeah.
Because if you don't change that baby, you're going to get a hell of a lot more rashes.
Hmm. I know it's offensive now to say something is grandfathered in.
It's not looting. It's a five-finger discount. Now, that was when you were a kid, you used to say that.
Is it finders keepers? Call it that?
Not stealers. They're not stealers. No, those are the Pittsburgh. Those are stealers.
Mm.
That's not. Dustin?
Can't read that one.
Nope. Mm. Nope.
Now I'm intrigued.
There's some. Well. Sex offenders, are they insertion looters? No, they're not.
Because there's no tragedy going on around them.
Right,
if there
you
was,
can't call them looters.
If there was like a
no
storm.
No state of emergency.
Right, then they would be insertion
looters. Now, if they were
looters.
Sex offending during a state of emergency, that's another thing.
Okay.
That would be another thing.
Okay, I'll keep that term in mind.
Yeah.
Insertion looters. I'll be ready to use that one.
Anyway, so we have to make sure we don't offend the rapists, okay? Let's make sure we're not offending the rapists anymore.
Is murderer offensive? Like, what do I call Ray Lewis when I see him?
Mister? You better...
After that comment, yeah. Mister?
Yeah, I would. If I was...
Well, if he's wearing a white suit, I'm running.
If I'm you, Isaiah Stewart, running up on Ray Lewis,
yeah.
Okay? Yeah. I'm calling him Mister.
Okay.
I wouldn't... If I was you... Wouldn't run up on Ray.
Yeah.
Hey, take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf. We're just 2 weeks away from it, right?
Yeah, two weeks from tomorrow.
December 1st. It's the Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com.
No, next week.
December
next
1st.
Oh, December 1st. It's next
week.
It's a week from tomorrow. Yeah. Good Lord. By the way, we had a $2,500 bid for me to play with me. How stupid are those? I mean, how awesome are those people?
Your buddy Justin wasn't happy.
No. Well,
he's like, oh, I'm gonna get Granato on the cheap again. I'm gonna win. Nope.
Nope.
You're not.
$2,500. Come up with it, Justin. Come up with it. That was amazing. The people from MacVibe, Jason from MacVibe. Well, what a great guy.
Awesome.
How about that? Giving us $2,500. It's gonna go to the Latino Learning Center. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, December 1st. It's a week from tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch from Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen. And by the way, those are both awesome. Frankie's Italian Kitchen and Orleans Seafood, both awesome. 18 holes of golf, quick awards ceremony immediately after the tournament where I will insult you for winning. And then you can register now at ESPN975.com. It is a great time. Just take the day. Let's go. Bring three of your buddies and let's play. It's just good. Such good fun. Good clean fun for the whole family. Not really. Don't bring kids because there's a lot of drinking and eating and stuff going on there. So we don't want that. We don't want that going on. 713-780-3776. You want to talk? Somebody had called in, wanted to talk about Kelvin Sampson. I hope it's not about coaching the Rockets. Please don't bring that up. Lance brought that up. He wanted Kelvin Sampson to switch Tillman owned properties.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if Kelvin wants that.
No, I'm pretty sure Kelvin is much happier where he is.
I think so too.
You know, he's got a lot more to work with. He's got guys who will actually do what he wants them
right
to do.
And I also don't want Silas coaching the Cougs either.
No.
Silas can be the odd man out of this thing.
See, I don't know that Silas isn't nearly as bad a coach either as what we're making him out to be.
No.
I feel bad for him too.
Yeah, look, he doesn't have a lot to work with. And when he took this job, he thought he was going to have James Harden and Russell Westbrook and a team that could compete for championships. And now he's got nothing. Like, within a couple of months taking the gig, both of those guys are out and it's a total rebuild. So, always tough to be a first-time head coach, really tough to be a first-time head coach when you just have nothing to work with. So I don't agree with a lot of what he's done, but he was dealt a pretty crappy hand, no doubt.
Yeah. Tonight we've got the college football playoff rankings.
Mm.
How do you see it going tonight? What's yours, and is it going to be any different than what the committee has?
It's a good question. Georgia's obviously number one. Alabama's going to stay number two. Oregon lost at number three.
Are you sure Alabama's going to be number two?
No.
I'm not.
They shouldn't be. Ohio State should be ahead of them now.
I think they will be.
I mean, Ohio State's loss, I guess, looks a little worse because Oregon lost again. But Ohio State's been the better team,
but
clearly.
It was so long ago now.
Right. And if they played again, Ohio State would win by five touchdowns.
And the committee looks at how you're playing now as opposed to then.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Ohio State probably should be number two. They just seem to always side with Alabama. So, even when they lose a game, Alabama seems to be ahead of everybody. But I would go Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3. And I'd put Cincy in there, man. Curious to see what the committee does. Like, they've had Cincy at 5 the last 2 weeks. One of the top four lost, so they should move up. You know, SMU was one of the better teams they played this year, and they pounded the ponies over the weekend. So it feels like that should be Cincinnati right there at number four. It'll be interesting to see if the committee continues to give them the middle finger and says, oh, Michigan, you look pretty good last weekend, so you can go ahead and jump into the top four.
The only one that would be that possible is Michigan.
Yeah.
It couldn't be Notre Dame.
No, and Oklahoma State, I don't think would be there either, jumping up all the way from nine. Like, they wouldn't move them there.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's almost got to be Cincinnati, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason it wouldn't be is if they just really want to hype up this Ohio State-Michigan game coming up this weekend. And it's like, oh, it's two top four teams, and you have to watch this now. People should be watching it anyways, and if Michigan wins, they'll obviously supplant Ohio State and take their spot in the Final Four. But maybe that's why they would do it, but it should be Cincy.
Realistically, honestly, here's who I think the best teams are in the country are. I think it's one Georgia, two Ohio State, three Alabama, four Oklahoma State, five Cincinnati, six Michigan, seven Notre Dame.
Okay. So you like Oklahoma State more than Cincinnati?
Yeah.
And their defense is
ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Which is weird to say about a Mike Gundy coach team. I mean, it's 2 years in a row. Like, their defense was legit last year. But, yeah, for so long, you would think of classic Big 12 shootouts for them. That defense can run with anybody.
That's Jeff Sagarin's, too, by the way. Jeff Sagarin has Ohio State, Oklahoma State is the fourth. That's not, I don't know about 5, 6, and 7. I don't know what Jeff Sagarin does. And I don't know that he has Ohio State second. Last week he had Oklahoma State as the fourth best team in the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they look good. I mean, shutting out Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Yeah. So we'll see what we'll see. You know, Gundy's got to step up and beat Oklahoma, though. He just doesn't do it. So if he doesn't do that, he doesn't deserve to be there. But if he does, beats Oklahoma and then he beats Baylor again, is the chance Oklahoma State, with one loss, could pass Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's the interesting debate, right? I mean, one loss Big 12 team has always gotten in. So does that happen again?
Doesn't
this
matter.
Year?
Houston's going to beat Cincinnati anyway, so that's gonna knock them out.
That'll make it easy.
843 ESPN 97.5 Coors Light is what we're talking about now. When you're watching the Cougs beat Cincinnati, what will you be doing? Drinking Coors Lights? Yeah, I know I will be. When you're playing golf, what are you going to be doing? Drinking Coors Lights. When you are barbecuing, what are you going to be doing? Drinking Coors Lights. When you are playing pub, what are you going to do? Drink Coors Lights. Drink Coors Lights. The answer is drink Coors Lights to all of the above. Drink Coors Lights. All of the above. Every single one of those things that you do, you're going to be drinking Coors Lights because it's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's not one of those beers that's heavy, you know, the motor oil thick, and you're just trying to choke it down and at least that bitter aftertaste. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is getting refreshed with cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Why would you drink something else? I don't get it. It's Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. NFL stuff. Last night, the Bucs took care of business, and the Giants' offense is just so bad. Jason Garrett got fired this morning as the offensive coordinator for the team. Robert Saleh met the media and talked about his conversation with Rex Ryan. Did you see how Rex Ryan did a 180 on what he thought of Robert Saleh?
Yeah, he went after him.
He went after him hard.
Yeah.
And then he came back after the conversation and loves him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was so funny how he eviscerated Saleh. 2 days later, here's what he had to say.
And I got to tell you something. I was blown away by the guy. I mean, it reminded me, I had some differences with Tony Dungy. I reached out to him, talked to him, and I was blown away. I thought he was super smart and just, you know, he's got a direction for this football team. But I'm telling you, Jet fans, I mean, the more I talked to him, the more impressed I was with Robert Saleh. Like, I became a fan of his. Mm-hmm. And it's number one, you know, taking my call and all that speaks volumes about him. But it was way more about, we put that stuff behind us, but it's about the future of this team. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you something. This guy's got a great plan, and I think they got it right.
So after all the crap that he talked about,
yeah,
do not compare me to him. He's terrible. He's no good. Then he came away with that.
2 days later?
2 days later. And here's Saleh yesterday talking about that conversation with Parcells.
Credit to Rex. You know, he reached out and, you know, it was talking to him was very consistent. I'm not going to talk about the details of our conversation, but it was very consistent with what a lot of people in this organization have said about him, which is I've never heard anyone in this organization say anything bad about Rex. And there's a lot of people here who worked with Rex. We have Brent Boyer on staff who's coached with him and Kavanaugh who's coached with him. And they have nothing but great things to say about Rex. And so, and my conversation with him proved that. I mean, the guy's got a tremendous heart. We had a really good conversation. And, you know, I've always been a fan of Rex from afar without ever having talked to him. But, you know, so credit them. He didn't have to call. He did. It shows the kind of man he is, and I appreciate him for that.
Well, I would also say it shows the kind of man you are because, again, I've told you this before. You're on with us every Monday. I'm very small. I'm a very small-minded person. If somebody said that to me, I would never pick up the phone. What made you pick up the phone?
He was also in Cast the First Stone, my man.
Wow. So, see, you're better than I am.
It's a weird thing to admit on air that you're small.
Yeah, that is
weird. Did I take the wrong thing from
that? Yeah, I think you did.
And was Rex Ryan talking about Robert Saleh, or was he talking about his wife's feet with all of those compliments? Do we know?
I think he was talking about Saleh. He loves Saleh. Maybe he gave Saleh a foot rub. You don't know.
Oof, he would like that.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what he did. All I know is that what a 180. And that, talk about drama.
Yeah.
There was drama. And it was resolved, thankfully. And both sides were able to come to terms there. And thank goodness. I was worried about that relationship.
I'm going to say not thankfully, because I wanted that to be back and forth hatred between those
you,
two.
You want that
in
your team. I like tranquility.
Oh, I don't want that with my favorite team. I want that with the Jets. I just love watching the Jets be the Jets makes me feel good about the teams that I root for.
Well, you're a Cowboy fan, right?
Right.
What do you have to be thankful for as a Cowboy fan?
Better than the Jets.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they, though?
Yeah, they are.
Are they, though?
Come on now.
It's the same thing.
A little better. I've got this year.
Is it, though? Yeah. Well, you do have this year.
Yeah.
You do have this year. Of course, you also had that game a couple of weeks ago. Who was it to beat your ass?
Oh, the Broncos?
Oh, the Broncos.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with the Chiefs. That would have worked, too.
Yeah, that would.
More recent.
Only the Broncos game was much worse.
Yeah.
Much worse. And speaking of the Chiefs, are they the best team in football? And you know what? Dan Graziano, number 30, Aaron. Dan Graziano does say the Chiefs are possibly, and you know what? It's hard to disagree with him.
Honestly, I think the best team in the NFL right now is Arizona. That's 9-2 and just won 2 out of 3 without its quarterback. But yeah, I think the Chiefs, the pedigree says they can be, and the way their defense is playing is certainly noteworthy if the offense does get it together. But right now, the offense does not have it together, and I don't think you can call them the best team until they do.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. The offense certainly looks a lot better the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, really, outside of that Vegas game, though, on Sunday night, they haven't been great. Like, they put up 20 against the Giants in a 3-point win there. You know, they got off to a hot start against the Cowboys. They had 16 points on their first 3 possessions. They only had 3 the rest of the way. So, like, the defense has been carrying them over the last month. The defense over the last 4 games.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, 11.8 points per game allowed. Like, they've been special. So, if the defense continues to play anywhere close to this good, then, yeah, you think the offense at some point is going to get back to what we've seen the last couple of years. And if that's the case, then they clearly are the best team in football, John. Because they've shown that they can win with mediocre defense. If the defense plays well and the offense gets to where it's been, then, yeah, they're legit.
However, name me a team that they wouldn't be favored against heading into the game.
Neutral site? Green Bay? Although they're dealing with a bunch of injuries right now.
Maybe.
They'd be favored against Arizona, I think.
Absolutely.
They'd be favored against...
I mean, he just said Arizona's the best team. Now, they've been doing this without Kyler, too.
Right.
You know, although Colt is... He's really great backup.
Legend, man.
Yeah.
Best quarterback of all time.
Slow down, legend. Okay.
Him and Sam Ellinger, the two best quarterbacks in NFL history.
Best backups right now.
Yeah.
In all of football. Yeah. Congratulations. That is something that the Longhorns can hang their hat on. They got great backups in the NFL.
That's about all we have right now. John, we'll take it.
That is about it. You know, I just don't know that, you know, I think that I really regret not jumping on the Chiefs before these last couple of wins when they were really reeling and going, you know what? They're going to turn it around because you know what? They're going to turn it around, and they have been turning it around.
They're still not there, though. Like, they're still not there. I get that they might be favored against a lot of teams in the league right now, but I'm not sure I'd pick them over Tampa Bay at this moment. I'm not sure I'd pick them over Green Bay at this moment. Like, I don't quite think they are. They might be the best team in the AFC at this moment because nobody seemingly wants to be the best team in the AFC, but I'm not ready to go entire NFL just yet. Until I see the offense like put together a couple of performances in a row, like what we saw against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago, I'm not quite ready to go all the way there.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are going to be the best team. We'll see. Because the Bills are just, what is going on there? Tennessee without Derrick Henry is just not the same. I just don't see anybody else. The Colts are a possibility.
Yeah.
The Colts are a real possibility. They're starting to play like they're supposed to. And oh, by the way, that pick now is turning into a first rounder for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is nice for them. And but it's nice for the Colts too. After that slow start,
right?
It's a pretty good football team.
Yeah, and they started 1-3 for a while. That pick was looking like it could be in the top five, and then it would have been that was a horrible move. But no, the Colts. I don't think anybody wants to play the Colts right now.
No,
like, their defense and their running game is good enough to win a lot. And Carson Wentz, I think, is good enough to steady the ship for a deep playoff.
He's managing it well enough. That's for sure. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here to comment on NFL, who do you think is the best team in the AFC? You're more than welcome to get in. I'm not sure who the best team in the NFC is. He said he thinks the Cardinals. Graziano thinks the Cardinals are the best team. I'm not sure that's not the Packers. Going to Minnesota and losing, there's no shame in that, quite frankly, because that's a better team. They've lost a lot of games, close games this year. The Vikings could easily right now be 8-3 or whatever. I don't know if they play 10 or 11 games, whatever. Yeah. They could easily be a team that is right there in the hunt for the division. 857 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, Sage Rosenfeld is going to join us. He'll give us his thoughts on this Texans, but also on what else is happening around the NFL. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I was tweeting out yesterday. They tweeted me the Lightning, the new electric Ford F-150 that's got the front trunk. You open the hood, and it's a trunk, okay? There's no engine there because it's electric, and so you're going to put your golf clubs up front. How awesome is this? I tweeted back the Bronco that they lent me for the weekend sitting in my driveway, and that is just unbelievable. Listen, the Ford product right now is second to none, and the place to get it, all businesses know where to get it. They're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Fords. Retail as well. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, customize it to exactly how you want it, and they're not going to add anything on. You cannot say that about other dealerships in the city. They're always going to try to add it on. You can do it all online at ChastainFord.com, or you can get to the dealership on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that car customized exactly how you want it. You want the perfect vehicle for you. You've got it with no add-ons at Chastain Ford.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.